May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was going to teach one thing, but listening to Bracken read the gospel lesson just sort of caused me to step back. I love what it says that he could save others, but he could not save himself. And that's almost true. Now, there's only one word you have to change there, is that he could save others, but he would not save himself. And he would not save himself because he could save others. I think that as believers, we have these tracks that we find ourselves on. And one of them is because of our own brokenness and our own need for healing, our own need for wholeness. I was just thinking about just the history of even us here, CTK, Mary, we've all been around together for a long time. I was thinking about, I love going to conferences if they're anointed, and I didn't go to any for years and years, and recently I've gone to a couple of conferences. It's really cool, and it's cool to watch what God's doing in people's lives and how he kind of wreck you dramatically and then start altering some things and stuff like that. But I remember about 25 years ago, that long ago, We experienced that kind of stuff here. We had people barking and jerking and falling out on the floor. We couldn't get around them at lunch. We were just everywhere. And you remember all that, Mary? We learned to do all kinds of stuff then. We were affected. We were affected. We used to put little pieces of paper on people, those little pink pieces of paper that when they'd fall out on the floor, we would just put a little piece of paper on them that says, out for lunch, and they'd wake up and have that little piece of paper on them. And and it was because of Wimber affected our lives a lot. We talked about the interview process of praying for the sick and the Toronto thing in its really early days and impacted not only us, but many charismatic churches around the world. And it wasn't that you ever get over that. That's not the issue. It always stays part of you. The Holy Spirit does things like that, can do things like that. And we were learning how to do inner healing ministry. God taught us about deliverance by teaching us how to do deliverance. And there's also this track as one of the characteristics of maturity. I shared this the other day, you know, that Wimber used to talk about having a church of 2,000 people whose average age was 19 years old. And he said, I got all kinds of 16-year-olds who come up to me and give you a word of knowledge, but they can't walk in maturity and the character of their life is not very good yet. Because in the end, the great character that dominates the Christian is the character of love. And Jesus kind of laid out our calling when Jesus said about himself at the Eucharist. And every time we celebrate Eucharist, it's just not a preference for a certain brand of Christianity, or I believe with all my heart, regardless of what people are called in groups, everybody is going to come to a place in the body of Christ. It's going to be one of the aspects of revival. They're going to all honor communion, Eucharist, whatever word they're going to call. Because it just preaches the gospel to us. It just says so many things to us about Christianity and maturity and discipleship. And one of the things that Jesus said, he said, this is my body. He said, this is my body. I can do what I want to with my body. It's my body. You don't have a right to take it from me. This is my body. You know, it says that he could have called on 10,000 angels in order to stop the whole thing. Jesus said, this is my body, and I choose to give it to you. That's the Christian life lived out in ministry. We don't want to move in signs and wonders to get our self-worth needs met. And I see so much of that. But you know what? I probably walked in that too. We all kind of did. It really was awesome. It felt good. It was really cool. And you know, like how many times you hit the floor and bounce was almost like how we'd measure how mature or how passionate somebody has for the Lord. I used to tell the joke. I said, you know, if that's what it means to be anointed, Olivia would get frustrated with that anointing after a while. Every time I walk in the house, I say, hello, honey, and she falls out on the floor. At some point, you got to just live life. And those are good things, and God touches you. You understand? We've been doing that here for almost 30 years. But in the end, there has to be another track, and the track be about others. And so you can bounce off the floor, fly through the air, jump up and down, pogo stick, fire tunnel 750 times a day. We didn't have fire tunnels back then. That's a cool thing. But we did stuff back then. We saw some amazing things happen in those days. And we see amazing things happen today. But in the end, to be Christ-like, There must be some dominating process, some dominating mindset, some thing that says, this is my body, and I give it to you. Intentionally. Even though it's going to cost me. The maturity. And we don't walk in, this is my body, and I don't like the fact that you're taken from me, and you don't seem to be very appreciative about it. Or I'm given to you, and I don't get any thanks from you whatsoever. Or I'm given to you, and how come everybody else isn't doing like I'm doing? You ever walked into that? That's not really mature either. This is my body. And I gladly, this isn't about anybody else except Christ and me, give my body, give myself to you, my time. And I was just reminded last year when we came back from that Africa trip, I hadn't been in about 4 or 5 years. When I went there, I was so intentional, God, teach me what they're doing so I can bring this back here in terms of the percentage of people who get healed. When I stood in front of that group and I saw all these amazing things happen, people getting healed that I don't see happen as often in America. And every leader in America says the same thing. It's one of the reasons they do trips to Brazil and other places. It helps them stay encouraged to keep going for it in the West. We've thought ourselves out of a lot of what God wants to do, the supernatural things. And so I was there and the Lord said, Lord, now teach me whatever's going on, get it inside of me so I can take it home. And he said, what they got, you can't take with you. I thought, oh, no. I mean, people were just getting healed by the hundreds. He said, what they got, you can't take with you. And he said, what they got is childlike faith. He said, now you can take that home personally. And he just began to speak to me about protecting that. And he said there were three things, Chuck, that you got to walk in. He said, one, stay childlike and don't let any failure or any person talk you out of that. Two, if you're going to go deeper, you know, if you're going to go farther in the anointing, you got to go deeper. And three, he says, you got to be willing to experience daily the inconvenience of love. Because love is inconvenient. I think that's why God created families. So you'd learn to be Christ-like. Because to live with other human beings, a moment-by-moment inconvenience, right? It says, he healed others, but he couldn't heal himself. Now, the issue was Jesus was able to heal others. Think about this. He could heal others because he wouldn't heal himself. You want to know the real key to moving farther in the anointing? It isn't how many times you bounce off the floor. That's cool. God does that to get our attention. Changes, you know, still happens in my life. It's not how many fire tunnels you go through, though they're wonderful. You know, or any healing sessions you go through or deliverance sessions you go through. They're all good. But you come to a place where you've gone deep enough to where God's broken your heart. Jesus lived resting, his mind resting in heaven. But he lived with his heart kneeling in the dirt. That's how he lived all the time. And if we're not willing to get down the dirt and say, this is my body, but I deliberately choose to give it to you. Jesus could heal others because he wouldn't heal himself. That really is the great secret. Not very deep, not very heavy. It's not going to make the hair stand on the back of your head. A lot of times it's going to make you go, oh, no. And I'll tell you this one quick story. I've told it before. One of the most amazing healings I ever saw was in Sudan. And I had those two people who both had AIDS. One was a woman whose husband had been a priest. He died from AIDS from transfusion. This other one was a man who was a priest, and his wife had died from AIDS because of transfusion. They both had AIDS, and they had traveled 3 days to get to where we were, a lot of it by foot. And we've been ministering all day long. I was living in a hut they built for me. And we didn't have any electricity. They were all refugees that had come back in Sudan. And we'd been ministering all day. We'd traveled earlier. We'd ministered. It was getting late at night. Everybody's going to bed. And Bishop Kakani said, Archbishop, there are two people here who just got here, and they need you to pray for them. And I first said, Tom, I'm wore out. I said, I have no faith for anything right now. I'm just exhausted. Can we please pray for them tomorrow? He said, they've traveled for 2 days. They both have AIDS, and they believed, they heard that you were going to be here. And they said, if we could just get to him, would be healed. That's because I was a Westerner and I was an archbishop, so they thought I was a lot more than I really was. So God just broke my heart, and I walked out there, and I'm telling you, my faith was so powerful, it just dribbled off my lip to the ground. I had no faith at all. I was just exhausted. And I prayed for them both. To this day, now that was 9 years ago, they're both productive in ministry, totally healed from AIDS. And it wasn't because I was feeling the buzz or, you know, put on my fake mohawk, blue mohawk, so I could be spiritual. This is because I said, this is my body, and even though my flesh doesn't like it, I give it to you. And they got healed. Just a little mustard seed faith. Motivated by the love of Christ. I'd like to walk in the anointing of this person and that person and that person and this person and Heidi Baker and Bill. Don't you mean that's awesome? You know whose anointing I'd rather walk in? Jesus. And of his disciples, one who modeled it the most to me, Paul. When he said, I'm compelled by the love of Christ. May God help us grow up, huh? Because if you can bark and love people at the same time, bark and love them all you want to. But if you have to, I'm telling you, the loving's more important than the barking. And all the barking is just meant to get you to the loving. So God will break you. Not just so you can have your own bark ministry one day.